Our message today is to stay in the city. There were some disciples that were depressed. Jesus came to tell them, hold on. It's coming. I know you were waiting for the kingdom to show up and kick the Romans out of here. But right now, what I need you to do is to stay in the city. The kingdom's coming, but you need to have the power to do what I need you to do so that the fruition and the end game of God's plan of salvation will come. Stay in the city. Do you ever wonder about Christ's second coming? Is it an afterthought? The disciples of Jesus, like many, were waiting for the Romans to be kicked out. They were tired of being taken over by the Greeks, by the Babylonians. They were tired of being taken over by this Roman Empire. The Romans came in something like 63 or so AD, BC. And even today, that land never belonged to Israel outright. For many years, even after the Roman Empire collapsed, there was one country after another that took over the land of Israel. In fact, prior to 1948, when Israel became an independent state, it was owned by the British Empire. I know we talk about on politics and TV about the Palestinians and the Israelites, but listen, they never owned it outright for a long time. And they were waiting, these disciples, they were waiting for the Romans to be gone so the land could be theirs. And they thought that Jesus, the Messiah, was going to do that. They were with him when he rolled up into Jerusalem on the foal of a donkey. They were waiting for the Messiah's and that messianic kingdom to come to fruition. But their hope of a messianic kingdom in Israel was all but a shattered dream until Jesus revealed his resurrected body to them. Jesus consoled them. He declared that his kingdom was still coming, but it was not going to be established on the timetable at the present time as they had hoped. In order to prepare for the establishment of this coming kingdom, the disciples first needed to receive the promised Holy Spirit so they could carry out the Great Commission. So he told them this, simply, stay in the city and wait. And then as they watched Jesus ascending into heaven, after they had met him, the angels standing nearby reminded them that their hope for the kingdom was only delayed, for Jesus was indeed coming back. Jesus was indeed coming back. And my friends, that's exactly what he's going to do. He's going to be coming back. I'd like to read a couple of passages. In Luke chapter 24 and 48 through 50. Just so we can get the glimpse of this. Jesus in verse 48 says, you are witnesses of these things, and look, I am sending you what my Father promised. As for you, stay in the city. Stay in the city until you are empowered from on high. And then verse 50 says, and he led them out to the vicinity of Bethany. And lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was carried up into heaven. That's 48 through 51. Now, this is from the book of Luke, who also was the divine author, or the author who, under divine inspiration, also wrote the book of Acts, the book of Acts. So if we go to Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 11, reads this in the NIV. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? They were still waiting for the kingdom to be put in place. They were waiting for Jesus to be on the throne, get rid of them Romans. See, they did not understand God's plan, God's entire plan of salvation. Remember, the church was a mystery. Some things are still a mystery to some of us. Some of us don't know a whole lot about the second coming of Christ. Understood. People don't preach much about that. But look what it says. It says, he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Verse 10 says, they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white, these are angels, stood beside them. Listen to these words in verse 11. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go up in heaven. My friends, we are talking about the second coming of Christ. But first, they had to stay in the city. This message that we are going to have today has four characteristics of Christ's second coming. And I want to give you those four characteristics of the second coming of Christ. The first is his return will be personal. His return. Jesus is coming now. He's coming back. But his return will be personal. I know today we're used to someone working from home. Jesus will not be working from home when he gets to work at the second coming. He will be on site. It will be personal. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16. The second characteristic of this second coming of Christ is his return will be visible. His return will be visible. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. And the third characteristic, his return will be bodily. His return will be bodily. Ain't no FaceTiming. It will be bodily. And last, this fourth characteristic,
His return will be local. His return will be local. His return will be personal, visible, bodily, and local. And for local, we have Acts chapter 1, verse 11, and Zechariah chapter 14, verse 4. And for that third point, the return will be bodily. Again, it's Matthew 24 and verse 30. Matthew 24 and verse 30. His return will be bodily for the third characteristic. So let's take our first point. Our first point is his return will be personal. His return will be personal. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. We might slip into verse 17 just for fun. It says, for the Lord who himself, say himself, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven. He's going to come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And I'll read 17. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so will we ever be with the Lord. Now, this letter to the church at Thessalonica, they had lost some family members. Some of their family members had passed away. And the early church was very sensitive to the return of Christ. And some of them were worried that since Christ had not come back yet, that those loved ones who knew the Lord lost their opportunity. And so Paul did not want them to be ignorant. So he explained what we call the rapture. He explained the second coming of Christ as well. For Jesus Christ will come for the church, and then he's going to come with all of his saints, the church and the Old Testament saints together. But we want to know that this return will be personal. And why should it be a very real and personal return of Christ? Well, look at the high stakes that are facing these people. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 through 14, verse 19, in verse 14 it says, and if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. King James says, in vain. When I was in grade school, a deacon at the local church, who was also a teacher, had a Boys Scout meeting. And my mother gave me the money to pay him. And so we signed up for the Boy Scouts. We never had a meeting. We didn't do anything. No uniforms, nothing. It wasn't real. It wasn't personal. Is that what happens when we share Christ with people? It's not real. It's not personal. Jesus is never going to come. Is that the way it's going to be? No. No, no, no. His return will be real. So the gospel that we share, if it's not real, will be in vain. So it's necessary that we have somebody with some a better visibility than that supposedly scoutmaster had. We need somebody with some integrity. And who else? Who else has the integrity to ensure that we will see Christ again except Christ himself? See, it needs to be personal. We know that he's got skin in the game, for it was his skin that was on the cross that paid for our sin. He's intentional himself. It will be personal. It says in verse 18 of 1 Corinthians 15, then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only this life we have hope in Christ. What a shame that would be. We are, of all people, most to be pitied. So it's very important that we recognize that his return, the return of Christ, be very personal. Look at the verse there in verse 16 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It says, the Lord himself. The Lord himself will descend from heaven. He's not sending an angel. He's not sending John the Baptist. John the Baptist has already done his part. Jesus is coming himself. Says himself. The use of the word himself eliminates the possibility of someone else, some other mediator, to come down in his place, to represent him. There's no angel of the Lord that's going to represent him. It is Jesus who we know is the Lord. In a letter in 1 Thessalonians to his church that we're looking at, in chapter 1 and verse 1, it describes just who the Lord is. Just for fun, let's go and look at what it says. It says in the beginning of verse 1 of chapter 1 of the letter to the, of the epistle to the church there in Thessalonica, it says, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. If he says the Lord Jesus Christ, then when the Lord himself, that means Jesus, will be the one coming down from heaven. So it will be personal, and it will be Jesus who's coming. So it's a very serious and a very real and personal return this in this second coming. And not only do we know how personal it is, he's bringing his power with him. He's bringing everything he needs to show himself as I'm coming. Now, if you saw the presidential limo drive up to some place and the person that gets out is not the president, but the cook, we're waiting for the president. Who are you? Oh, I'm just the cook. That ain't gonna fly, right? But when the president goes up, that's when everybody wants to shake their hands, right? Well, it's personal. Jesus himself is coming, and he's got all of his gear. He says he will come with a cry of command. Look at that verse. With a loud command. With the voice of the archangel, ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States, and with the trumpet call of God. When you play that trumpet, it's serious, because there's a victor on the stand, a victorious Savior who's now the judge has arrived.
oh, this will be a very personal return. And then, how important was it? I promised you something. Here's my promise. And the dead in Christ will rise first. I didn't just show up. No, I was real with my promises. And just to let you know, I came personally to ensure that the dead in Christ, those of you in Thessalonica, those who thought your loved one lost out because Jesus hadn't come yet. No, no, no. The dead in Christ, your loved ones, they're going to rise first. All attention will be turned heavenward as we see and hear him. There'll be no time to look and try and look pretty. The trumpet will announce the arrival of a very real and very personal and majestic king. There's going to be a victorious trumpet that will sound with authority of the victor himself. The king is coming, saints at New Berean Baptist Church. And you know what? We need to be ready when he comes. Because he said, first, the dead believers will rise in this resurrection power. And then not only that, but secondly, as we read in verse 17, the living believers who are still alive, they will follow up and be raised in the vindicated faith that they had for all of those years. They'll be caught up with them in the clouds, the Bible says. Snatched up, if you will, in a rapture. They'll meet the Lord in the air, and they will evermore always be with the Lord. That same resurrection power that rose Jesus from the dead is going to be the same resurrection power as we approach the second coming of Christ, when people come back and pick up their bodies that's in the grave. Pastor Ricks will not remain bodily wise there in the cemetery. Oh, he's coming with Pastor Ashburn. All the saints of New Berean, your loved ones who knew the Lord, they're coming back. Now, the bodies they get are not the old bodies. But these are bodies that will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. They'll be like the kind of bodies that Jesus has. Man, oh man. You know, he's coming, saints. And it's going to be very personal. Our next point, the second characteristic, is that his return will be visible. His return will be visible. Would you look at Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7? Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7 says, look, he is coming with the clouds. Unless a person is absent of sight, in other words, blind, when you look up during the daylight, what do you see? This white and fluffy up there. You see clouds, don't you? Well, if you can see clouds, when you look up, when Jesus comes up from heaven, he is coming with the clouds. Can you see clouds? His return will be visible because you can see him too. And how many eyes will see him? Every eye. Well, I didn't know he was coming. I'm sorry. The Bible says that every eye that can see the visible clouds will see him too.
even those who pierced him. That means not the people there at Calvary, not those people. Okay, don't get confused. Even those who pierced him is referring to the Jews. Okay? It's referring to the Jews. Even the Jews who did not believe as a nation, even they will believe. Even the Jews will believe. Remember now, Paul stopped going to the Jews and just went to the Gentiles, that's you and me, with the message of the gospel. For the gospel of Christ is the power of salvation to the Jews first, even though they rejected him, but also to the Greeks, that's Gentiles. And Paul was the missionary to the Gentiles. So as he's going to the Gentiles, we're reminded that the Jews who had rejected Christ as a nation, as a people, even those who pierced him, the Jews, and how many other people? All the peoples on the earth, those who are of the Muslim faith, the Buddhists, the Hindus, the atheists, and the ones that don't know what they believe. Everybody's gonna see him and they will mourn because of him. Why? We didn't know it was true. We thought it was all a lie by some crazy people like them folks at New Berean Baptist Church. We didn't know they were talking about something that they knew. You mean Pastor Ricks was right all along? Yes, he was. Yeah. But you see, his return will not only be personal, but it will be visible. It will be visible. In Matthew 26 and verse 64, when Jesus was on that phony trial with the high priest asked him if he was the Messiah. Look what Jesus says. He says to him, "Thou hast said, nevertheless, I say unto you," okay, you said Messiah, okay? I heard that. "Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." He said, you're going to see me coming, the clouds in heaven. Same message here. He said, I'm going to be visible. You might not believe me now, but y'all gonna believe because I'll be visible when I return as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is a prophecy that Jesus is coming again. It's a separate and distinct difference between the rapture of the church and the second coming of Christ. Do you hear me? There's a difference between the rapture and the second coming of Christ. The rapture is when Jesus will be coming for his church. At the second coming, he's coming with the church, with the Old Testament saints. He's coming with all of his saints. Zechariah 14 and verse 5 says, "And the Lord my God shall come and all the saints with him." That's the second coming. When he comes to set up the kingdom. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4 says, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear," second coming, "then shall ye also appear with him," church. At the second coming, we're going to appear with him. He's not coming for us then. We already been with him. We got our new bodies. Listen, at this time, we're coming with him. And it says, with all glory. And even in verse 13 of chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians, it says, and to the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So looking at these verses, we can confirm through Scripture, the ones that you saw on the screen and the ones that I read to you, that his return will be visible, personal, and visible will be characteristics of the second coming of Christ, which takes us to the third characteristic. His return will be bodily. His return will be bodily. Let's look at Matthew chapter 24 and verse 30. Matthew 24 and verse 30. Says, then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then all the peoples of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming. On the what? Can y'all see clouds? You might not see him at night that well, but during the day you absolutely can, right? On the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He's not going to be on your TikTok shorts. That's not where you're going to see him. Yeah, he's not going to be on a Facebook thing or whatever. It's not going to be the wait for latest news on CNN. He himself will be returning bodily. It will be bodily and personal and a glorious return in the Christ in the skies. Jesus plainly taught that his second coming would be bad news. That's why it's so important to know it's bodily. It's going to be bad news for the great majority of mankind. Should be good news. Isn't it what the gospel means? The good news? But it's going to be bad news. How many children are messing around at home and mama saying, your daddy's going to come? And the child going, I don't care. I don't see him. I don't care. I don't see him. Your daddy's coming home. I do whatever I want. I do whatever I want. He ain't here. Ding dong. Who that? That's daddy. Scatter. Scatter. Where you going? The bodily form of my daddy is here. And he's going to attack my body with that belt. Because I didn't do what I was supposed to. Daddy's coming. Jesus is coming. And he's coming bodily. I remember people getting, you know, doing whatever until they found out that the boss was coming. And all the playing that they did, they stopped playing. They got to work or even looked like they were working because they knew he was coming. See, this is a bodily return. There's a reason to fear the judge. There's a reason to fear the judge. The judge is coming. He's not coming as no baby in a manger, helpless. Someone else has to feed him and change his diapers. He's coming as judge. He's not going to be up on a cross being shamed in front of men. No, he's coming back as judge and victorious one at that. He's coming back, and his second return, it will be bodily, personal, visible, and bodily. when the second coming will occur. We don't know when. You and I don't. Jesus already told us. And nobody's going to know except the Father, because this is his plan. It's his plan, according to Matthew 24 and verse 36. But his bodily return in the clouds of heaven is similar to the message that the angels who spoke to the disciples on the occasion of his ascension. They said, in like manner, he will come again, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, which takes us to our next point. His return will be local, personal, visible, bodily, and local. When Christ came the first time, he came as the lowly one, riding upon the foal of a donkey. And we've seen and read about Jesus coming into Jerusalem and then being rejected and then going to the cross. But in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9, it says this of the coming of the king. It says, rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now, that's where it stops there in the New Testament. It stops there. It doesn't go into the verses that deal with the what we would call the second coming, when he really comes and takes the throne. It stops short of him taking the throne as it's prophesied or written there in the New Testament from Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. It ends there. So people saw him coming as the lowly one. He's not going to be the lowly one in his second return. He's going to be coming in all of his glory. He will not be crucified again as a lamb to the slaughter, but he will destroy the enemies of Israel. And he will establish his kingdom in Jerusalem and sit on the throne of David in his second coming. But it's going to be local. Because how is he going to arrive? Well, you know he's coming in the clouds, but where is he going to go? His return will be local. Look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 11. Why do I say his return will be local? Men of Galilee, these two men in white that appeared as they were looking up at Jesus, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven. You know the one that was crucified on the cross? You know the one that was resurrected? The one that was seen by 500? The one that was seen by his brothers? That Jesus will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Now, they were in the vicinity of Bethany, and Jerusalem is on one mountain, and then you come down from Jerusalem and you go into Bethany. And in that region, there's another mountain. There's another mountain. So he was talking to them from where? Christ will return and appear on the Mount of Olives. just as the two angels declared to the disciples. That's where they were, on the hills of the Mount of Olives, in the same place that he ascended. It's going to be local. There's a place reserved already for his return. We don't have to worry that he's going to end up on the moon when he comes back. No, it's going to be local. It's already set. When I grew up in Winston, North Carolina, population 800 minus one, me, we had Highway 13 go all the way through Winton and then go to Hosky. Back then, that's where the Trailways bus stopped, at the Red Apple restaurant. My uncle got off at the Red Apple restaurant from the Trailways bus. But then, somewhere along the line, they put in Route 11, which bypasses Winton, North Carolina. They put in a new bridge. So the bus came from wherever in Norfolk, through Suffolk, and it would go on to Ahoski. It never stopped in Winton again. All right? And now Winton is just, we just got a, about 10 years ago, a Family Dollar store. That's big time. All right? But we don't have to worry that Jesus is going to bypass us. He's going to come back to the same place that he left. In Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 12, it says, they were looking intently into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Verse 11, men of Galilee, they say, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who is taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go. Verse 12 says this, then the apostles returned to Jerusalem. Remember he said to stay in the city? What city were they going to stay in to wait for the Holy Spirit, the promised one? Jerusalem, right? So if they were told to go and stay in the city, where did they come from? Verse 12 says, from the hill called the Mount of Olives. They were on the hill on the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day walk from the city that they were supposed to stay in and wait for the Holy Spirit. So the Bible tells us where he left. It clearly says that he left from the hills there on the Mount of Olives. Catch that? And it will be foretold in Scripture on the day that he ascended to the same spot as was promised. Would you look at Zechariah chapter 14? And I love Scripture, man. It's so good. If you're confused, it's because someone has confused you. Because Scripture is not there to confuse, but to inform. Only those who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, only those who don't know the person of the Holy Spirit will get confused, because they think that God's wisdom is foolishness to them, even though our wisdom is foolishness to God. God knows what he's talking about. From Genesis to Revelation, he wrote it. He knows what he's talking about. Look at Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 4. Talking about the return of the king to set up his earthly kingdom. On that day, his feet will stand where? Is there any confusion in the room today? Where is Jesus going to land? not on the moon, not in the Hosky, on the Mount of Olives, east of Jerusalem, the city he told them to go to and wait. And the Mount of Olives will be split in two from east to west. Not only is he coming, he's going to change the landscape, forming a great valley with half of the mountain moving north and half moving south. Now, when I arrive someplace, don't nothing happen like that. Do you know how difficult it is to split a mountain and create a valley? You know, there's a mother of all bombs that was invented somewhere during the wars there in Iraq. That's a powerful bomb, the kind of bomb that makes your ears bleed. People get killed and die from the vibration of the bomb. That bomb, no matter how many bombs you can find, can split a mountain. Can you imagine how powerful our Savior is on his return? His feet, just his feet. His feet are not equipped with some kind of super steel-toed drill or something. He's not coming like a superhero. He's coming as the Savior and the King of Kings. And when his feet touch the Mount of Olives, the Bible here says, boom, it's going to split in two. What a mighty Savior we're talking about. One who's personal in his return. One who's visible in his return. One who's bodily in his return. And one who will be local. I promised I was coming. The men told you, apostles, that I'll be back. And guess what? According to that verse, he's back. He's back. Oh, and man, you're talking about scaredy cats. Satan will rise up and try and do his thing. He's going to lose. All Jesus has to do is open his mouth. Son, you're done. That's it. Get in the hole for 1,000 years. And just to make sure I make sure that you're done, I'm going to let you out for a little bit. Gather up all them little rascals you think you got. And guess what? Now I'm really going to be done with you because you're going to the lake of fire. Death and hell going with you. And the rest is his kingdom. He'll be king over the whole world. Over the whole earth. Over the whole universe. And the people of the Lord, they will be holy people. There'll be an outpouring of the Spirit on Israel. Jerusalem will be the center of worship. But they needed to stay in the city in order to be part of this second return. You see, had they not stayed in the city, they wouldn't have had any power to tell people the gospel of Jesus Christ. Had they not stayed in the city, who was going to be the witnesses for Jesus to tell the world? Yes, they wanted Jesus to come. Yes, they wanted to see his kingdom come. Yes, they wanted it so badly, but not the way that Jesus needed it to come. First, you need to stay in the city. Now, you and I don't need to stay in the city now. Holy Spirit has already come. And at New Berean Baptist Church, he's in you. At New Berean Baptist Church, we're not near Jerusalem. We're closer to a Hosky than Jerusalem. We're in Virginia. But we still need to carry the gospel out to every soul that is out there. But why is Jesus taking so long to come? Why is he taking so long to come? In conclusion, I will say this. See, the first couple of generations of the church, they lived our lives vividly in the hope of Christ. They thought he was coming in their lifetime. They were looking for an imminent return. The first apostles and the followers that came after them, they were thinking Jesus was coming back soon and very soon. They stayed in the city. They got their power from the Holy Spirit. They preached the gospel. In fact, they preached it all over the world. But they had to wait in the city to get this power, because Jesus wasn't ready to come back yet. The Father wasn't ready for Jesus to come back yet. Would you pay attention to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verses 9 through 11? How come Jesus didn't come back sooner? It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." Peter explains why it's taken so long for Jesus to come. The Father is looking to get as many folks adopted in the family as possible. He's patient. Thank God I got saved, but there's some relatives of mine. There's some relatives of yours. There's some friends of yours that have not heard the gospel or not obeyed the gospel. There's still time to make sure we give them that information. However, Jesus is coming soon. It will happen that he will come. So let's live boldly for Christ today. And let's be ready for that joyful day when it comes, when he splits the sky and returns for his people in the clouds, and then for his final return bodily. We can look at the second coming of Christ in those four points. It'll be personal, it will be visible, it will be bodily, and it will be local. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 20 says this: "Yes, yes," Jesus is talking, "yes, I am coming soon. Are you ready, church, for his return? Are you ready for his return?" I wasn't ready for his return when I was 19 years old in Residence Hall C, room 232 at Tuskegee Institute, now Tuskegee University. I wasn't ready until two guys told me that if I did not accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, that I was not going to be in heaven when I die. So I got on my knees after they left and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life, forgive me of my sins, and to save me to the best that I knew how. I did that. Jesus is coming back. Make sure you're ready. I got ready that day. Right now, if you are not ready, you need to call on Jesus, ask him to forgive you of your sins, and give your life to him and live for him. Surrender to Jesus today if you don't know him, so that you can be prepared for the second coming of Christ. You can stay in the city, you can stay in your seat, but one day he's coming back. We don't want to see you anywhere else but heaven when he does. Let us pray.